All right. Well, this evening we're going to be looking at several questions concerning gossip. What is the seriousness of this sin in the life of the believer? How can we avoid participating in and listening to others' gossip and slander? Specifically, what do you do when an older or more mature Christian is the one gossiping to you? How do you handle that, especially if it's like your mother? How do you get out of that and put that kind of humbly and gently, get out of that? Also, what are some guidelines for delivering prayer requests to protect the privacy and dignity of the person involved and avoid crossing the line to gossip? I'm sure we've all seen prayer meetings where it's not a prayer meeting, it's a gossip meeting. So that's the specifics that we're going to be looking at tonight. We're going to be looking at what the Word of God has to say on this issue. So before we do that, let's go ahead and bow and ask the Lord to enlighten us. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the love that you have for us. And we'd ask as we study about your love that you would give us that love for others as well. Father, please give us wisdom as to what your word has to say on this issue. And Father, guide us into your truth. Convict us. Father, forgive us. And apply this to our lives. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First thing when we talk about gossip is we need to define what we are speaking about. The word gossip is only used in a few translations and is used very sparingly throughout the Bible. Some of your more paraphrased translations, you can't even call them translations, would use the word a lot more, but most of your word-for-word translations don't use the word except maybe two or three times in the Bible. So when we talk about gossip, we're going to be kind of going more from the vernacular understanding, and we want to look more at what the Bible has to say concerning the way we speak concerning other people. Many churches have a very vague understanding of gossip, and Christians have a vague understanding of gossip, and so the word gossip is used for literal sin, and it's also used to kind of shut down real legitimate issues that come up within the church. So we want to have a biblical understanding of that. We want to begin in Matthew 22, which is kind of an interesting place to begin, because we want to properly understand the law of God and how everything comes together. Matthew 22, and verse 36, Jesus is asked, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." We are to love God. That is the first and greatest commandment. If you were to study the whole law of God, the whole law of God flows from one commandment, and that is you love God. He then says the second is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Every law flows from love God, love your neighbor. If you look at the Ten Commandments, it's separated into two tables of stone. The first is the four commandments dealing with how you love God. The second is this, it deals with how you love your neighbor. 1 John chapter 4 helps us understand this better. If a man says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. He that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? This commandment we have from him, that he who loves God, love his brother also. So the commandments flow like this. I am to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. However, my neighbor bears the image of God. So if I love God, I will love those who bear his image. All of the laws and all the commandments flow from that. Romans 13 helps us understand even further. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he, notice this, that loves another has fulfilled the law. If you want to keep the Ten Commandments, just love God and love your neighbor. That's all that you have to do, is love them. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you want to summarize all of the last of the Ten Commandments, it's just love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. Okay, so all of those commands are there to bear false witness. It's about loving your neighbor. Which brings us to the next, last part, verse 10. Love works no ill to his neighbor. If you love someone, you are not going to do something that hurts them. You are not going to do something that harms them. That would include their reputation. That would include other people's understanding and impression of them. Okay, this would be respecting them and their wishes concerning their privacy. When I go against their privacy and I go against their reputation, it's not that I am gossiping, it's I am not loving them. And if I am not loving them, by extension, I am showing my lack of love for God. So whenever you begin to look at these commandments, it's really a chain reaction that all flows from love God. If I love God, I'll love my neighbor. If I love my neighbor, I'm not going to do anything that will harm their reputation. I'm not going to do anything that would disrespect their privacy. Okay? Love doesn't work ill towards their neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. If I love someone, I will follow God's commands concerning them. Well, what commands? Exodus 20, verse 16. This is the ninth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. We have unfortunately made this, the ninth commandment is do not lie. That is not the ninth commandment. You can bear false witness against your neighbor telling the truth. Let me give you an example from the news I read this past week. There's a pretty high profile criminal case against a Navy SEAL who's accused of killing people. I don't know if you saw any of that. Well, he is being accused of killing civilians. I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. Just want to use the illustration. So in the cross-examination, okay, when you get up there and you testify that I'm going to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So one of the witnesses was asked, did you see him kill civilians? And he said, well, I heard a gunshot come from the general location where he was, and I saw a civilian grab their stomach and fall over. Now, what did he just do? He told the truth. Did he know for a fact that the guy killed him? No. So when you begin to look, you say, well, what did he just do? He bore true witness. That is, my evidence is I heard a gunshot and I saw somebody fall over. Now, could you conclude that that was him shooting and killing civilians? Well, that's up for the jury to decide. Okay, I'm not on the jury, so it's not my decision to make. But you can say the truth and twist it in such a way to leave a wrong impression. You can take what is the only possible conclusion from a situation and bear false witness. When we speak of do not bear false witness against your neighbor, the idea here is I can't tell you my conclusion on the facts. I can't tell you my impression of the facts. I can only tell you what I absolutely know to be verifiably true. You see, I can leave a false impression with someone concerning someone else. That's bearing false witness. I can speak the truth, yet damage someone's reputation because what I say, though it's technically true, leaves out other pieces of information or adds my opinion on those pieces of information. That's when you move, forget the word gossip, that's when you move into breaking the ninth commandment and bearing false witness. I'll give you a little story to help you understand gossip. There was a lady in a church who was a very prolific storyteller, shall we say. And she one day began to tell the whole church that one of the prominent deacons in the church was a drunk. Somebody asked, and he found out about this, and so he went and confronted her. He said, why on earth are you telling people that I'm a drunk? And she said, well, you know that bar on the main highway? I drove by there on the way to the grocery store one night, and your truck was parked outside of it. He said, okay. And that night, he drove his truck to her front yard and left it there all night. Okay, now, if you were to drive past her house and you saw his truck in the yard all night long, what do you know? That his truck was parked in the driveway. That's all you know. You know what bearing false witness is? Saying that more happened than the truck parked in the yard. The truth is, the truck was parked in the parking lot. Bearing false witness is when you say, and you know what that means. What it means is the truck was parked there. That's what it means. You see, I can destroy someone and work ill towards them while telling the truth the whole time. I knew of someone who did this. They were spreading a rumor about a friend of mine that they were having an affair. And it was the same thing. Well, I saw the car parked out there in the parking lot. You know what that means? Yes, it means their car was parked in the parking lot. And that's all it means. That's the truth. And when you begin to interject more than what you know, well, you know they're having marital problems. Well, why do you know that? Well, did you see that he wasn't sitting with her this morning? Okay, all that means is they weren't sitting together. It doesn't mean they're having marriage problems. I had somebody come up to me one time. Well, you know they have an eating disorder. You know what? I talked to the person and personally. They don't have an eating disorder. Some people are just skinny. It's the truth. And when you see a woman who's super skinny, you know what that means? That she's skinny. That's all it means. You know what bearing false witness is? It's when I take the facts, and instead of relaying the facts, I relay my conclusions about those facts. Well, I just really feel your feelings aren't facts. Okay? So when we talk about bearing false witness, I can only say what I know to be verifiably true. It is not my place to pass on my conclusions, my feelings, or my impressions. Okay? Is it really likely that that Navy SEAL killed the civilian? Probably. I don't know. I wasn't there. But when he's asked for the facts, what does he have to say? I heard a gunshot and I saw somebody fall over. That's all he can say. So when I talk about gossip, it's not some obscure commandment. It's actually the ninth commandment, and that is you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. That is, when I speak concerning someone else, I can only say what I know to be verifiably true. I can't give impressions, thoughts, or feelings, or conclusions. Only what I know to be true. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but notice this. But love covers all sins. Where's the Ten Commandments come from? Loving your neighbor. So even if I know something to be true, you know what love many times does? It covers it up. Notice in Proverbs 17, verse 9. He that covers a transgression seeks love. Just because it's true doesn't mean it's your place to tell. Because if you love someone, many times the most loving thing you can do is cover it up. You mean we're supposed to cover up sin? If they're repentant. If they are truly repentant. I deal with this with my own children. I'll be walking home for lunch, and the kids will come running outside, Daddy's home. And they'll come and say, you know what so-and-so did this morning? And I'll ask them, did mommy deal with it? Yeah, but then I don't want to hear about it. If mommy dealt with it, then it's not your story to tell. Or they say, well, you know what he did? You know what she did to him? Did they do anything to you? Nope. Then why do you care? Okay? You see, what we can do is someone can come to us, they can apologize, they can ask for forgiveness. And again, we're not talking about criminal matters and things like that. We're not talking about child abuse. We're talking about just regular. Most gossip is not about, you know, bank robberies and stuff like that. Most of it is just about destroying other people's reputations. Listen, if someone has sinned against you and they have asked your forgiveness, you don't repeat it. That's what love does. Do you want your failures repeated continuously the rest of your life? Do you want your failures told about in the whole community? Failures that you have repented of, failures that you have asked forgiveness of the parties involved, that you've done everything to make right. You know what love does? Love doesn't repeat it. You know what hatred does? Hatred repeats it. You see, this is not about, well, I run my mouth too much. No, this is about, I don't love people the way I should. So when we talk about the seriousness of gossip, what you're going to begin to see in Scripture is it's not something, it's about you actually hate these people. because you are not doing what is good concerning them. You're destroying them. You're hurting them. Love doesn't hurt people. So if someone is repentant, you know what? You don't repeat it. So somebody wronged you. Aren't you glad that God doesn't blast all of your sins across the world? You've wronged him a lot. And what has he chosen to do? To forgive. Right? Leviticus 19, verse 16. You shall not go up and down as a talebearer among your people, neither shall you stand against the blood of your neighbor. Notice this. He compares two things. Being a talebearer, okay, that would be the old English word for gossip. Somebody goes around telling stories about people. He compares it with testifying against the blood of your neighbor. Okay, testifying against the blood of your neighbor would be standing on the witness stand and lying so your neighbor gets executed. What type of horrible person would be called to a murder trial and would lie so they could watch their neighbor, their brother, their sister, their mother-in-law, their daughter-in-law die and be publicly executed? You know what? When you're gossiping, you're executing their reputation. It's the same thing in the eyes of God. It's a very serious thing. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Proverbs 11, verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that's of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Part of being a faithful, loving friend is that when people tell you things, you keep them in confidence. That's part of loving people. Proverbs 18, verse 8. By the way, this proverb's repeated word for word in Proverbs 26. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. When you go around gossiping about people, you hurt them. I have had people in tears because their reputation has been destroyed by someone lying about them. You hurt them with your words. I hurt people with my words if I go around saying, well, you know about so-and-so. What I'm doing is I'm hurting them. I am damaging them. I am destroying their reputation. Proverbs 26, verse 20. I love this one. Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. I give you a little challenge. Find a single fight you've ever encountered where there was not exaggeration on one side or some form of gossip. Every church split, okay? They don't split over theology. They don't split over somebody who denies the deity of Christ or the virgin birth. You know what they split over? Well, you know what I think they're doing? I know they're saying this in the business meeting, but you know what they're really trying to do? I've had that happen before. We had a business meeting. Somebody presented something. This is years ago. Presented something. After the meeting, the next day, somebody comes up to my office. I know what you did. Inform me, because I don't know what I did. Y'all planned that. No, ma'am, we didn't. Yes, you did. Ma'am, I think I would remember all the conversations I had, and I never had that conversation. Yes, you did. Okay. Person eventually left the church. Again, controversy. Fights. Well, I know they said that they're trying to increase the budget for such and such, but you know what they're really trying to do? What they're really trying to do is increase the budget for such and such. If you look at fights within families, I know he said this, but you know why he said that? I know that she said she's not hungry, but it's really because she doesn't like your cooking. Maybe she's not hungry. If you look at all the fights, and you don't know what marriage counseling is, right? This is marriage counseling. If you've ever counseled people, it goes like this. I came home and asked, how are you doing? He said, fine. You know what that means. Yeah, it means he's fine. No, it doesn't. Okay? But that's the way it is. If you begin to look, just watch the news. Watch a Republican say something, and then watch what the Democrats say about it. And then watch the Democrats say something, and watch what the Republicans say. So the Republican will say, we need to fix our roads. And the Democrat says, he just said we're going to burn little children to the ground. And then the Democrat says, you know, we need to make sure that we are safe. And you know what? They really want to kill us all. That's the way it goes. That's where all the strife comes from. What we have to do is talk to people. Okay? If you think that there is something wrong, don't go talk to other people who don't know about it. Go straight to them. Okay? One of my biggest pet peeves is I'll have people come to me and they go, yeah, I just think there's a really big problem here. Have you talked to them about it? Well, why would I talk to them about it? Because obviously you think there's a problem there. Then go talk to them. Okay, my job as the pastor is not to go to talk to people and come back and give you the information. My job as a pastor is to tell you, you go talk to that person. Okay, all the fights and contentions are largely caused by gossip, are not giving true information, but giving our impressions or conclusions about other people. I like this in 1 Peter 4. If you're reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. Okay, if people don't like you because you love Jesus, that's a good thing. Okay? For the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer. Now, again, you want to talk about how serious is the sin of gossip? Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other men's matters. That's what we would call a gossip. Okay, notice what he says here about a gossip. He puts him in the same category as a murderer and a thief. Why? Because you are killing their reputation and you are stealing their privacy. By the way, where is the command, don't bear false witness? It's right alongside, you shall not kill. It's right alongside, you shall not steal. It's right alongside, you shall not commit adultery. It's right alongside, don't make any idols. It's right in the same category. So when you begin to talk about the seriousness, we have made it gossip, what the scripture would call it, is bearing false witness. Okay? Notice in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command you and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. There's a country song, if you were minding your own business, you wouldn't be minding mine. Okay? You have enough problems in your life to work on without trying to figure out other people's problems. If you would spend as much time on fixing your own character issues as you do trying to find out others' character flaws, you would be perfect. We all would. And this is why one of my constant prayers is make me blind to the sins of others and show me my own sin. Because, you know, it's really easy to look at the flaws in someone else and ignore the flaws in my own character. And you know what he says? That's who you are. You got a whole bunch of stuff you need to be doing otherwise. Okay? Then you are way too idle. Listen, sometimes our kids will come up and, you know, y'all remember this? Mom, I'm bored. Mom, I'm bored. Well, go clean your room. Well, I don't want to do that, but I'm bored. Okay? If you have enough time to keep up with going on in every single person's life, you know what? You need to find something profitable to do. Okay, nobody should be on the phone that much. Nobody should be able to sit around with that much idle time. Okay, there are people to visit. There are sick people to care for. There are people who are hungry. There are poor that need to be taken care of. There are lost people who need the gospel shared with them. There is plenty of stuff to do. That's Paul's admonition. Again, notice that we have a balance here in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The whole record keeps going concerning the sin of gossip. 1 Timothy 5, verse 11. The younger widows refuse. When they've begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they cast off their first faith. Withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also, busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Now notice in here, and this is the main thing, main context of 1 Timothy 5, is caring for widows. But notice when he talks about someone who's using all their idle time to get involved in other people's affairs and to be a gossip, he calls it turning aside to Satan. And he talks about giving a reproach to the church. You know, it is absolutely shameful for me that sometimes people who claim to be Christians will share all the problems of their church with their lost coworkers. And they just trash the reputation of their church, trash the reputation of brothers and sisters in Christ to lost people. And then they wonder why the lost person won't come to church. Because they don't want everybody shoving their nose in their business too. They're not fools. They know if you're going to stick your nose in everybody else's business, you're going to do the same thing with my business. And I want nothing to do with it. He speaks here of how gossip damages the reputation of the church. He speaks about how Satan uses that to infiltrate the church. And when you become a busybody or you become a gossip, okay, you are turning aside to Satan. 1 Timothy 3, verse 11. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Gossip is a sin that men and women both engage in, but it seems to be particularly appealing to women, just as sexual lust is particularly appealing to men. Here, this sin is so serious that it would disqualify a husband from serving as a deacon or as an elder. Why? Well, because as a deacon or an elder, you're going to be made aware of very personal details of people's lives. And you can't have your wife going around sharing other people's business because it destroys them. It's not loving towards them. Okay? So 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. For I fear lest when I come, I will not find you such as I would, that there be not, shall be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings. The word whispering there is the idea of false sayings quietly said to the side. That's what we would call gossip. Some translations put that as gossip. Swellings or tumults. Again, if you can't say something publicly, that's the word idea of whispering here, maybe you shouldn't say it privately. Okay, again, if this is information concerning someone, and if you're worried about them finding out what you're saying, maybe you shouldn't say it. Notice here he speaks of all the problems in the church that he doesn't want to find. One of them is what we would call gossip. Romans 1, 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Some translations would translate that as gossip. Okay, that's the idea there. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. That's what we would call homosexuality. Implacable, unmerciful. Now let's just stop for a minute. He talks about murder, stealing, homosexuality, hating God, and guess what's thrown in the middle of all that? Gossip. Why? Because when I bear false witness against my neighbor, what am I doing? I am hating my neighbor, and by extension, I am hating the God whose image they bear. How serious is gossip in the life of a believer? I don't think you get much more serious than being thrown in a category with hating God and killing people. It is a very serious sin. But notice verse 32. And this is something that we all struggle with. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Well, I may not spread the gossip, but I sure do like listening to it. You're in the same category. Okay, this is why this is a serious sin that we as Christians need to speak against and address in biblical manners. So how do you shut down gossip? Okay, when someone comes to you, especially someone who's older or more mature or somebody that you respect, and they begin to share hurtful information about people and those type of things, well, the scripture gives guidelines. So let's look at some of those things. He that hides hatred with lying lips. I'm really just sharing this information because I'm concerned about them. No, you're sharing this information because you derive pleasure out of sharing this information, not because you actually love this person. Okay? That hides hatred with lying lips, he that utters a slander is a fool. Notice in verse 28, a froward man sows strife, and a whisperer separates chief friends. We need to understand engaging in gossip shows that you are hating people, that you are foolish, and you are separating and destroying friendships. Okay? So we need to understand that if we're going to handle someone sharing gossip with us. So, verse 19, he that goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Did you hear about? Okay. Therefore, meddle not with him that flatters with lips. I was with my grandma when we went up north a couple weeks ago. She's 98 years old. And she said, there are two ladies in my church that are known to run their mouths. And I don't hang out with either of them. Okay. That is 98 years of wisdom right there. You want to avoid gossip? Just don't hang out with people that gossip. Stay away from them. It's destroying other people. It's destroying the reputation. It causes problems in your life, problems in the church. It causes problems everywhere. You know what? One of the best ways to get out of a conversation is never let the conversation start. If you know of someone who has a reputation of being a gossip, you know what? You have caller ID. Enough said. Okay? You don't have to engage in that conversation. You don't have to sit at that table. And I'm not saying that we have to be disrespectful or rude towards that individual, but you know, part of loving your neighbor is not putting yourself in a position to listen to someone else's reputation be destroyed. Okay? Next, Jeremiah 9:4. Take heed, every one of his neighbor. Trust not in any brother, for every brother will supplant. Every neighbor will walk with slanders. They will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Next thing you can do is don't believe everything you've been told. If you want to put an end to gossip, don't believe everything. People come to me all the time, and again, it's good because I'm their pastor and it's for counseling, and they'll say, well, you know, I just think that so-and-so, blah, 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 blah. You know, I take everything I'm told with a grain of salt. Everything. Why? Because I know that you may feel very strongly that's true, but again, that's your perspective on an issue. And what I found is that many times someone's perspective on an issue is a little skewed. Right? Don't take everything that you're told as the gospel truth, as fact upon fact, because you can pass it on because it's fact. No, you need to be careful. I don't know how many of you ever heard that. Which president was it that said, was it Reagan that said, trust but verify? Okay, that's a very good motto as a Christian. So how do you handle it when someone begins to share gossip with you? Well, you can do what I do. You go, wow, that's very concerning. Where did you hear that? I mean, isn't that a simple, innocent question? That's not very confrontational. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to find out if what they're saying is true. I mean, so, you know, he's a drunk? Well, that's the first I've heard of it. Who told you that? You know, I've done this with people before, and it's amazing how quickly they will backtrack their stories if they're gossiping. And it's very quick. It's amazing how quickly they will not share more information with you ever again. I've had this happen with several people. They'll come up and go, well, you know, I'm just really concerned about so-and-so. Oh, really? Why? Well, because blah, 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 blah. Really? Where did you hear that? Well, you know, I thought everybody knew that. Well, I'm part of everybody, and I didn't know that. Where did you find that out? Again, trust, but verify. Begin to ask, where did you hear that? I had one person tell me, it was a bad connection on the phone, and I couldn't recognize their voice. I said, then why are you repeating it? Okay, again, what you'll find is that many times they're going to come up with just the stuff they pull out of thin air, or they've distorted the truth or twisted the truth. By the way, this is not adults only. Kids do this. And so a question I'll ask my kids is, what is word for word what they said? Okay, have you ever had a kid, he came to me, he said, yeah, I hate your guts. And what did they really say? Well, they said, you're sitting in my seat. But they said it really mean. Okay, so were you sitting in their seat? Yeah, but I was going to get up. Okay, well, let's not go around saying that they said they hate your guts because they didn't say that, did they? Again, you can put the story to rest very easy by just saying, really? And you can be really nice about it. Was that exactly what you saw? Is that exactly what did they say word for word? Where did you hear that? Okay, where did they hear that? Because what you're going to find is someone who is given to gossip doesn't like being asked those questions. I sat down with a lady one time who was gossiping, and I began to ask those questions, and eventually a friend who was there said, you know, you're looking pretty bad right about now. Because they began to backtrack their story and, well, that was someone else told me that. Okay. Well, then I guess I need to speak with them, not with you. Who told you? Well, I can't tell you that. Well, if I got to get to the bottom of this, I need to know who told you. Well, I can't tell you that. Well, then I'm just going to assume it's you. And when I address the situation, I'm going to say it was you who said that. So this person can come back to you. Oh, no, it was me. Well, then why are you telling other people this? Well, because again, it's very easy. Most of us don't like to be confrontational. You don't have to be confrontational. Just go, wow, that's horrible. Who told you? You know what will happen is gossiping people will just kind of not talk to you anymore about that. Because they'll find out that you're going to want to verify what the truth is. Proverbs 25, verse 8, I love this. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest you know not what to do in the end thereof when your neighbor has put you to shame. Debate your cause with your neighbor himself. Discover not a secret to another, lest he that hears it put you to shame. And your infamy turn not away. You know what's going to happen if you as a Christian take this approach to ask and try to verify the information? Gossip is going to stop. Why? Because people are going to have issues and they're going to bring things up to you. And all of a sudden, when they begin to discover that secret to you and you begin to question, you know what you're going to do? You're going to make them embarrassed that they ever opened their mouth. I've had this with people. They'll come to me and they'll, oh, blah, 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 and they start talking about somebody. And I begin to really ask questions like, how do you know that to be true? Well, it's all the car in the parking lot, like, you know, the lady said about the alcoholic. Really? You're telling everybody that deacon's a drunk. Are you sure his truck wasn't broken down? Did it have a flat tire? Well, I don't know. I just know he... And what you begin to do is they'll begin to get very embarrassed because they're going to begin to realize how foolish they were to go on with it. But this is part of how you put an end to gossip, is you go directly to the person. This is what I do. Don't tell me information if you don't want me to fix it. If you tell me about somebody having marriage problems, I'm going to verify it's true, and then I'm going to go help them with their marriage. If you tell me about somebody engaging in some sin, I'm going to verify it's true, and then I'm going to go directly to that person. It's amazing how quickly people will stop telling you stories when they know you're going to go directly to that person to fix it. I was with some believers who don't go to our church a while back, and somebody, there's some conversation came up, and somebody's like, well, this is gossip, we can't engage in it. And it really bothered me when they said that. But then the more I thought about it, and I was studying for this at the time, it hit me, they had no intentions of doing anything with the information. I had intentions of doing something with the information. If there's a problem, I'm going to fix it. Okay, if someone is a drunk, I'm going to go confront them. So don't tell me information if you don't want me to go to them. And I've told people this before, people who used to gossip to me a lot, don't gossip to me anymore. Because I say, well, I'm going to go to this person with this information. Oh, don't do that. Well, I'm going to, and I'm going to tell them that you are the one who said this was the issue if they deny it. Will you go with me? What does the scripture say? Debate your cause with your neighbor himself. Because you're going to get really embarrassed when myself or someone else in the church goes and says, you know what, so-and-so said that you are engaging in such and such an activity. We're here to help you. And for them to say, where on earth did they get that idea? You know, my answer is going to be, I don't know. You go ask them. You can put an end to gossip very quickly. And you can do it very respectfully. You don't have to be confrontational. It could be an older, more mature believer. It could be your own mother. And all you have to do is say, where did you hear that? Well, now that I have this information, Mom, I have to do something with this information. So I'm going to go to that person, and I'm going to see that we get to the bottom of this and fix it. You know what you'll find? The gossip will disappear very quickly. Which brings us to Matthew 5. If you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has aught against you, leave your gift before the altar, go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge deliver you to the officer, and you be cast into prison. Verily I say unto you, you will by no means come out from there till you've paid that uttermost farthing. Notice Matthew 18. If your brother shall trespass against you, go tell him his fault between you, and him alone. If he will hear you, you've gained your brother. What are you supposed to do when you are made aware of sinful behavior in someone else? You're supposed to go directly to that person. So if you want to get out of gossip, when someone comes to you about somebody else, what do? You go directly to that person that they're talking about. It'll stop the gossip. But if you are someone who struggles with gossip and you become aware of information concerning someone, the best thing to do is not try to jump to conclusions, not try to figure out why they're doing what they're doing, but go ask them, why did you say this? You might be surprised. If you see someone that's skinny, instead of going, they have an eating disorder, go ask them, why are you so skinny? You may want to have the same diet and exercise program they have. Okay, if you see someone and their spouse isn't there, as opposed to jumping to marital problems, maybe say, hey, we missed your husband this morning. You know, go to the person. Hey, you saw the deacon's truck parked in the driveway all night, okay? Go ask the deacon. Hey, I saw your truck at so-and-so's driveway. What were you doing? I was getting her back for saying I was a drunk. That's what I was doing. Okay, go to the person. Go to the person. When I first came here, there was quite a bit of gossip in the church. And by God's grace, there is very little left because we have emphasized over and over and over again. If you come to Glenn, you know, Glenn's going to tell you, have you talked to them? If you come to me, you know what I'm going to tell you, have you talked to them? Right? We're going to go to the person and we're going to instruct you to go to the person. When people join our church and we go over scripture and we go over the doctrine and we go over the covenant, you know what we tell them? If you have a problem with me, come to me. I would like to hear it. If you have a problem with someone else, go to them. Well, what did somebody tell me one time when they were gossiping? Well, that's just awkward. Well, I'm going to make this conversation so awkward you'll never come to me with information like this again. You know what's more awkward is someone saying, you know what? You look pretty foolish right now running your mouth about people. It may be awkward. It may be uncomfortable, but it's right. If you think something is going on with someone, love them enough to go speak to them. Again, this is about loving your neighbor. Now, I want to kind of go to the opposite end before we look at the last question about prayer request. Some churches and some ministries and some preachers have used the word gossip to, I'm trying to think how to word this, to insulate leadership and to protect people who are in sin. I'll give you an example of this. There was a very public ministry leader a couple years ago who was accused by 20 or 30 women of sexually assaulting them. The response from that ministry was that these women were engaging in gossip. That was the response. Because, and I read one of the girl's stories, and this was the girl's story. She had met with the man. He had molested her. She went and told her mother, which takes a lot of courage. She tells her mother, and her mother says, "Don't you dare gossip about that man, ruin his reputation." That was her own mother's response. That's not gossip. Okay? That is Matthew 18, verse 16. If he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more, then the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Goes on, if you neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. Okay? If someone has harmed you, if someone has sinned against you, it is not gossip to go to the police if it's a criminal matter. It is not gossip to go to your parents, to go to leadership of the church. Okay, again, this is sometimes when you talk about gossip, people say, "Oh, I'm not ever going to tell the preacher anything ever again." No. There are times when you have to tell other people. And when you have two or three or four victims getting together to compare stories, that's actually biblical from Matthew 18, and that is not gossip. When you get together 15, 20 eyewitnesses to what someone has done, that is not gossip. That's Matthew 18. I could name names of ministry leaders who when, 20 elders in the church get together and write a letter, they say that's gossip because they should never be speaking to each other. No. They will not hear you, take two or three witnesses. If they won't hear the two or three witnesses, tell it to the church. What do you tell? That which is factual. You don't jump to conclusions. and you tell for what purpose, and that is the restoration of someone who is in sin. Okay? For justice, for righteousness, and for restoration. I want to make that very clear because some churches have a very oppressive culture to insulate people who are in sin. So if you're molested by an elder, you don't tell anybody because then you'll get excommunicated for gossip. No, you do tell someone because that's Matthew 18 and that's Romans 13 and that's biblical. If someone has sinned against you and someone has hurt you, it is very biblical to go and get someone to advocate with you and to speak with the individual to bring them repentance. So I want to make that very clear. So the last question, we talked about how serious the sin it is. We saw it's in the same category as murder because it's hatred for an individual. It's hating their reputation, destroying it. We talked about how to avoid gossip, and that is to try to find the facts and try to go to the person who is being talked about. It quickly puts an end to it. Well, what do you do about prayer request? Well, Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and prophets. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I have made horrible mistakes in this before. I once actually sent something down the prayer chain that was private information. I didn't realize that. I made a mistake one time. Had to apologize for it, make it right, because I didn't realize I got my text messed up and I was wrong. But I'll tell you what I do. I did this past week with someone else. As a pastor, people tell me all kinds of things. All kinds of things that they don't want other people to know. Sometimes they tell me things that I don't think are a big deal. Okay, we had a member in our church who was having a knee replacement. Why wouldn't you want people to pray for your knee replacement? But they didn't want anybody to know about it. Okay, I can understand some surgeries, you know, female type surgeries. I understand why you don't want everybody to know about your hemorrhoids or whatever. I can understand that. But why on earth would you not want people to pray for this situation or that situation? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So what I do is I will specifically ask the person, do you want this relayed? Do you want this put down the prayer chain? And many times what I will do is this. Would you send me a text word for word with what you once said, and I will read that, or I will send that down the prayer chain. Okay? It's their business, and it's their business to share. So there are times when I have known that people are having surgery next week or 2 weeks from now or a month from now, and I remember talking with one individual in our church, and they said, I want you to call the prayer chain after my surgery starts. I said, okay. Is that what I would do? No, but that is respectful to them and their privacy. So if you have a question about a prayer request and whether I should say it or how can I do it without respecting their privacy, just ask them. I mean, if someone comes to you and they're having some major health issue or some marital issue and you say, yeah, I really want to pray for you. I mean, most of the time when they're sharing that type of stuff, they want you to pray for them. And they say, you know, would you mind if I asked a couple other people to pray? And if they say, no, please ask anybody. Okay, then go ask anybody. If they say, honestly, I'm really not comfortable right now with people knowing, then don't share it. I know that's hard, because honestly, I've had people share stuff with me, and I'm like, don't you want the other people of the church to know what you're going through so they can come and pray for you? And they go, no, I don't understand that. That's not the way I would handle it. But you know what? It's not my business. It's not my story. It's not my surgery. It's not my medical issue. It's not my marriage. It's not my kid. So what do? I say, you know what? I told somebody this past week. Send me a text. Word for word what you once said, and that's all I will say. Sometimes people tell half of what's going on, and that's all I tell, because that's all I get permission to tell. So how do you offer a prayer request? Ask the person, hey, I'm going to prayer meeting tonight. My church would love to pray for you. What do you want me to tell them? And they say, well, just say it's an unspoken. Then just say, it's an unspoken. And they say, tell them everything. Then tell them everything. The bottom line is, when we love people, we're going to love their reputation. We're going to love their privacy. They may have crazy views of their privacy that make no sense to you. But you know what love is respecting that. So when we talk about gossip, we need to remember this is about loving your neighbor. It's not about you. It's not about how you feel. It's not about what bothers you. It's about doing what is best for them. And if they're a private individual and they want to remain private, that's their business. If they want to go tell their stories and put all their business in the street, it's their business to put in the streets. If they want to put it on Facebook, that's their business to put on Facebook. My job is to not do any ill towards my neighbor. My job is to love them, to pray for them, to help them, to encourage them, to respect their privacy, to respect their wishes, because that is what I would want others to do to me.